Good morning. Welcome to New Dawn. My name is J. Donald Walters. I'll be with you this next quarter hour talking about ways to find happiness, peace of mind, and wisdom to cope with the challenges in your life. Soon, I hope you'll be welcoming a new dawn of possibilities in yourself. Remember, whatever you want changed in your life, it begins with you. I would like to read today from my little book of sayings called Do It Now. Be open to others, to their projects, their ideas. Thus their interests will balance and enrich your own. This tendency to think that because somebody else has the idea, therefore it can't be something useful to you, is really one of the ways that we close down. And what I'm trying to do in this program, in these programs, a series of programs, is to help you to open your heart and mind, to expand your consciousness, not to contract it, not to close it down, and to sort of live in the thoughts, customs, habits of your past or of anybody else's past. This openness is what will give you, I'm not telling you this is a law that I'd like to see passed by Congress. I'm not telling you it's something written in the scripture. I'm not telling you that it's something you should do. I'm offering it to you rather as a key to your own self-fulfillment. And I think that is the key to moral law, that a thing is right or wrong simply because it's right or wrong for you. And what makes it right or wrong for you is simply this, that it's right because it gives you what you really want from life as opposed to what you imagine that you want, and it's wrong because even if it looks like it's going to give you what you want, it doesn't. An example of what I mean there is that sometimes people think that by hoarding and selfishness they'll have more of what they want, and yet they find that their hearts become narrowed, contractive. They are less capable of enjoying the world, enjoying other people, enjoying anything, because they're only thinking in terms of taking and not of releasing. It's in release from attachment, release from concern and worry, that we find that freedom, which is the essence of self-fulfillment. Anything that binds you is not good. You may think, oh, I want to make $1 million. I want to hold them. I want to invest them. I want that million to become 10 million and that 10 million to become 100 million. And you build up this thought in your mind, imagining a future when you are so wealthy that everybody will bow and scrape to you. You'll be able to do anything that you want to do. And yet, when people actually succeed in these things, they find that they don't have that one thing that they really hoped to get because they wanted importance, respect, freedom to do what they wanted, and so on, because they thought those things would make them happy, and happiness somehow eludes them. They don't find it because happiness requires an openness to life and what they have done in their acquisitive search is close themselves to life, close themselves to other people. I've noticed among wealthy people that usually they are not open to others. They're not open to other points of view. They want to look down on other people as being poorer or less important than they are because it gives them the feeling of importance, which they think is going to make them happy. And unfortunately, what happens is that they don't sort of go a little bit down this road and realize they made a mistake and turn back. Some fortunate few do. But most think, well, I just haven't got quite enough yet. That 1 million isn't quite enough. If I had 10 million, maybe it would be better. One person that my spiritual teacher, Paramhansa Yogananda, talked about was he had $1 million, and Yogananda asked him, well, now are you happy? He said, no, I won't be happy until, my cousin has made 40 million, and I won't be happy until I get 41 million. And so he finished the story, Yogananda did, by saying that before he could finally get his 41 million and relax at last, he died of exhaustion and of a heart attack. And in fact, that's what happens. People think that if I just have a little bit more, then I'll get it. I'll never forget my grandfather. He came to visit me in his mid-80s. He was almost blind, almost deaf, and unable really to enjoy life. And he told me, sadly, he said that all my life I kept thinking if I earn a little bit more, then I'll be able to enjoy life more, I'll be able to travel, see the world. And so I kept earning just that little bit more, and finally I find I've got all the money I want, and I can't enjoy anything. I can't see anything when I travel, I can't hear anything, and I'm forced, more or less, to stay home all the time. Well, this is unfortunately the symptom of this disease we're talking about, this disease of contractiveness, of thinking too much of oneself and of one's own desires and needs, of acquiring the acquisitive tendency. And it's the same thing with openness to people's projects and ideas. I've seen so many people, especially successful people, they somehow think that they've got to prove their success by also proving other people's lack of it and lack of ability to succeed. As you may know, I started a community many years ago called Ananda. It's Ananda World Brotherhood Village. And its center is in Nevada City, California, but we also have a branch in Mountain View in Palo Alto and a bookstore in Mountain View called East West, which is, I think it's the most beautiful store I've ever been in. I really mean that. It's so fresh, so open, so user-friendly, you might say. And I'll never forget when I was starting Ananda, this was 28 years ago, I would visit a friend of mine who was a successful businessman, or I'd talk to a cousin of mine who was a successful lawyer, or I'd talk to other successful people in the family or out of it, and invariably they were always telling me what I ought to do and how I ought to do things their way, and I was totally impractical because I wasn't doing it that way. Well, nobody else has succeeded in building a community as I have, nobody in the world as far as I know. It's been a fantastic success. But it's because I did it my way, or I should say the way that I understood it needed to be done, and I didn't let them, with their closedness to my projects and my ideas, I didn't let them paralyze my willpower and my creativity. But I found in the process that by being open to other people's thoughts, I think this is one of the secrets of Ananda's success, openness to other people's ideas. And then I find that their interests, their way of looking at things, is not only good for me at the moment, but it helps to generate an attitude in myself and in others who work with me, who have sort of absorbed this attitude from me, to always be open, not just to one idea, but to all ideas that are new and fresh. There's a song of mine, you may have heard it on another of these programs, called Dublin Town. It's a story that I'd like to play for you by Derek Bell will play it. It's from the Mystic Harp. To Dublin Town one day came a monk, wise and gray. "Good people, come," he said. He cried, "give ear. No matter your state, how rich or how great, in God's eyes it's nothing at all. The riches you'd gain with struggle and strain are nothing, oh, nothing at all." An urchin brightly thought, if all gain is but naught, and if the good Lord heeds it not, what harm would I make by lifting that cake? Why, none, the cake's nothing at all. Oh, sure, and it's sweet and soft and a treat, sure, too, but it's nothing at all. He'd spied the cake itself on a bakery shelf, so angel-like he smiled and drew near. As trout swallow bait, he lifted the plate and ran like a two-legged deer. Yes, off he did run, like shot from a gun, or wind, or a two-legged deer. The baker's wife then sped, took a stick to his head, and scolded well and angrily. "Ow! Ouch!" the boy cried. "That wicked monk lied. All gain, he said's nothing at all." "Take that," she replied, "if gain is your guide. This pain, too, is nothing at all." Well, here we find the boy suffering because of his chastisement, the woman angry, and yet we, who read the poem and look at it from a distance, can appreciate both points of view. The boy's was not particularly honest, but it had a certain joyful logic of its own. We can appreciate both because we're not bound by either. Let me play you a part of this song, Dublin Town from the Mystic Harp. That was a selection from Dublin Town from the Mystic Harp, played by Derek Bell. Again, be open to others, to their projects, their ideas. Thus their interests will balance and enrich your own. Joy to you.